Well, we're looking at destiny and vision. There is a sound, a vibration. You know, when originally in the Recreation Act in Genesis 2, it says God hovered, or the Spirit hovered, over the waters. Now that word means vibrate. And he drew the waters together and drew things back together. And there's this sound, this vibration. The same thing happened at Pentecost. There was a sound like a mighty rushing wind. Didn't say there was a mighty rushing wind. There was the sound. They heard something that started to call things back into order. And that sound, that frequency that carries a symbol and a formula in heaven as a color and a fragrance, is being released from heaven all over the world. And it's drawing people back to a place of intimacy with God where they would find themselves and the fulfillment of what God has called them to. And that sound is like the sound of many waters. That's how it's described, God's voice. Because that's really what the sound is, the sound of God's voice. But he speaks to us in many different ways. Some people see things, some people feel things, some people hear things. Actually, there's many ways that God calls us. It's like deep is calling to deep at that sound. And it's like the sound of a waterfall is described in Psalms. And that sound has all the frequencies. When you stand by a waterfall, there's an amazing vibration that you feel with the energy and the power of that waterfall gets released. And this sound is drawing people to their heavenly home. We all came out of eternity, and God wants us to come back into intimacy with him. So there are heavenly alignments that are taking place, levels of heavenly authority being released all over the world, drawing people back into a place where we're going to outwork and fulfill God's purpose for us. So we've been hearing that sound here, and we feel we're part of that sound, called to be part of raising up and releasing a Joshua generation. Those that hear that sound and respond in faith to take hold and possess their inheritance and release that. To be forerunners, to lead other people into their inheritance. Sons of Issachar, those who hear that sound and know what the seasons are. That Joshua generation, it says in the Bible, there's a different spirit that have things. We've got 40 characteristics if you look on the website. Now, for that to take place, we have to be Jesus-centered. We have to be lovers of creation, what he made. And that doesn't just mean our little bit. It means the whole of it. That God's calling us to be pioneers and adventurers and leaders, disciples of Jesus. And we've been looking at the structure of government that God has in his kingdom, that he wants to see within his church, and that's to be patterned after heaven. So that the house, the people of God, can be prepared for God's glory to come and manifest in us. And we've prophetically been told here to rewire the house. Now, why do you rewire? So you get greater power and greater light able to go through. Because your old wiring doesn't take much power. It's like we want three-phase mains, which can take a greater voltage. Think of it in those terms. Now, we've seen that that means a bench of three, an apostolic council patterned after what's in heaven. We looked last time, four ministry areas, kingly, prophetic, apostolic, and priestly, and seven elders or gatekeepers. And we saw that God is calling us to come around the ark of his presence, around the ark of his glory, where his presence is. It's not going to survive, okay? So we've been very much looking about alignment with the faces of God, the lion and the ox and the eagle and the man, and going in and out of heaven, going into heaven and bringing back out of heaven, heaven's power, authority, glory, and to manifest it on earth. Because Jesus came out of heaven and brought with him the power of the kingdom and was able to say the kingdom is at hand. It means right here. And what happened? He healed the sick, raised the dead, cast out demons, preached the good news, demonstrated the kingdom with miracles over nature, did all sorts of amazing things. And God is calling us to that same alignment today. And we saw last week that that alignment is so we can minister. To minister means to serve. So we can serve God, we can serve each other, we can serve our community, and actually we're called to serve the world. And not just what we see as the physical world, but what goes beyond that into the whole of creation. Now, I believe God is redefining church and what it means so that we can understand the nature of this wider call. Because church has been sort of brought down to, for some people, it means a building. Well, we know it's not a building. We know it's not a building. But actually, in some senses, oh, well, it's just meetings. It's not meetings either. It's about people. It's not an organization. It's a structure which is actually living and alive. The Bible calls it a living temple built up with living stones. Lots of different ways the Bible uses to describe it. But really, it's the word means called out ones, gathered ones, people called out, gathered to a purpose. Now, that is often seen as, well, that's a church in a particular place and or a church in a particular region. And that's true. But actually, it's not necessarily defined by location, because God is calling people together all over the world around purpose and vision. That's also church. There are many people who see themselves as ministries. Actually, it's church, because it's about people coming together with a common purpose. Now, God is calling those people out all over the world. And last week, we looked at the structure here where we could see the redemptive gifts of people released, where we could see the visionary principles that we've got released, the position of love, safety, security, where we could have a culture of honor, where we would bless each other and release God's blessing, and everything flows out from that place where God is in the middle of everything. And for that means that we were looking for people who are willing to be gatekeepers, responsible for outworking these principles, so we can have an environment where our vision can be outworked. And all over the world, people need to find what their vision is. Our vision called to people to live in and out the manifest presence of God, to find and fulfill their destiny, to be free in accordance with their redemptive gift and destiny. And in the context of being an apostolic resource center, to give that out to other people. So we're looking for heavenly and earthly unity and harmony to release blessing. And that means there is a ministry to the church family as well as a ministry of the church family. And so the ministry to the church family is to prepare us for God's glory to come in our lives, because we're all individual houses of God, and corporately, so we will move from the presence of God to his manifest glory. And therefore, we want to have a place where we can be equipped to be God's generation that he's calling us to be, to have a communing of our hearts and values. And we've now got 4 vacancies for those roles. We had 7 last week, and 3 people have said yes, and several others are thinking about it. So if you feel, hey, I feel called to this environment to enable people to become who God's called them to be, then let us know. So that is the blueprint, and we looked last week at the first parts of this blueprint, and today we're going to look at some more. So we're going to look at the shalom or peace ministries, and I'll explain that in a minute. Being a city of refuge, 7 mountain spheres of authority, and why there are 7 mountain spheres, a council of 12. Look at our personal mountain spheres, and that basically strip out everything in the middle. Everything is designed so that we will actually function in ministry. There's no point having a whole load of good things if you don't give them away. Because God said, freely you've received, freely give. So we have ministries and we have spheres of authority that God wants us to engage our community, whether that community is actually a physical community or a spiritual community or around the world, where we can bless and release the good news that God's given us. Now, shalom means peace. It means wholeness. Now, a city of refuge in the Old Testament, they set up cities so people could go into those cities of refuge and be safe from those that were pursuing them. And God wants us to be a city of refuge where we are ambassadors of heaven. Now, an ambassador lives in another place, but under the rules of where he was sent from. So the American embassy in the UK actually is American soil in the UK. So we are ambassadors of the kingdom of heaven. So where we set up, we take ownership and we bring the kingdom of heaven on earth. Therefore, we're not under the authority or subject to the things that go on in the world, because we have a higher power or authority over us, heavens. But if we think we're under the authority of the world, then we'll be tossed to and fro like everybody else. But we need to recognize we come from a higher authority, heaven's authority. Therefore, we bring heaven to earth and we change things, and we're not under those things. So everything around us may be in chaos, but we can live in peace. And we can help other people to live in peace. And we can be a place where people can find peace and wholeness when everything else is chaotic around them. Matthew 6:25 describes this. For this reason, I say to you, do not be worried about your life, or what you'll eat, or what you'll drink, nor for your body, as to what you'll put on. Is not life more than food, the body more than clothing? And then in verse 33 it says this, seek, and this is the amplified version, seek, aim at, strive after, first of all, his kingdom. That kingdom, which is a heavenly kingdom, which is to be manifested here on earth. And his righteousness, his way of doing and being right. So it's all about being who we are in our identity so that we can do. And then all these things taken together, though all those things that everyone else is concerned and worried about, will be given to you. And all the other things that comes with the kingdom. It's a really good deal. But we have an enemy that wants us to actually think about and focus on all the things we've not got and all the things we might not get. So fear of lack and fear of not having stops us focusing on putting God first, because we try and meet our own needs and try and do things in our own strength because we're frightened to trust anybody else. And that's been set up over thousands of years. Now God is wanting to bring us into a place of trust and relationship where we trust him for our provision and our blessing. So where there's no food, we will have supernatural provision. And of course, Jesus showed us that by multiplying food. And in the Old Testament, we saw miracles where oil never ran out. There's testimony in the Word of God that shows us that miraculous provision can be provided. Where there are plagues and things going on in the world, we live in health. So we don't just trust the systems of the world, which at the moment, it's great to have hospitals and doctors to help us in certain things. But actually, there's a higher power and a higher kingdom. Jesus didn't send people to the doctor. He healed them. That's what he did. Well, actually, we need to be prepared to do the same. There may be no money, but we will have more than enough. And whether it's physical money or whatever we need to provide, God's provision will be there. Where there are no homes, we'll have homes. Where there's no jobs, we will have occupation in the kingdom, which will release blessing. The world may be in darkness, but we'll live in light. Now, I want to ask Becky. She's had some prophetic stuff around this to come and share some of the things she's seen. Because you have to sort of flesh it out. You know, it's okay saying that, but what did it look like? What will it mean to live in a city of refuge where things are totally different from what we're seeing right now? Because the problem is, there's an issue called normalcy. Normalcy. Everyone thinks most things are just going to carry on much as they have done. And actually, if things change dramatically, those things won't be enough anymore. So we might be comfortable where we are right now, but what if things dramatically change? And you only have to look at Hollywood and some of the films that they're putting out. And they're very prophetic sometimes because they pick up things. There is things coming that actually are going to be totally different. So we need to be ready.
I want you to sort of suspend any disbelief that you might have moment, okay? Anything in the back of your mind that you think, yeah, well, whatever, it'll never happen, blah, 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 things are going to carry on the same. They're not. They're really not going to carry on the same, okay? A few years ago, God said to me, what are the possibilities? So, okay. But if you think about all things are possible with God, the Bible tells us so. You know, Jesus demonstrated that all things were possible with God. So, I was like, okay, God, what are the possibilities? And these pictures came to me thick and fast, and over the years they've kind of developed and grown as I've sort of sought God more about them. A few things. So I've just mentioned a few things of the things I've seen. I've seen health centres, like real health centres, where people go in unwell and they come out healthy. Now, that's not doctors, that's not anything that anybody else has done, it's what God's done. It's like when people get healed. So they don't come out with tablets to mask it, they don't come out with, I'll send you to the hospital so that you can be chopped up. They don't come out with any other solution other than healed. Okay? And it's not doctors running it. It's us. It's the children of God. And then I saw, actually, as I pressed it in, I was like, okay, God, that really stirs me. I'm, you know, really stirred by that. I saw people having transplants just by having hands laid on them. They didn't need to go and have an operation. They just had transplants. Then I saw that we had an emergency response team that actually had, where people were invited by the emergency services to go and respond at an accident or scene of crime or whatever it might be, and have their hands laid on them, and people were raised from the dead. And I've had that picture several times, and every time I see it, every time my spirit connects with it, it just gets stronger and stronger. It really burns inside me, and I know that God is calling us to that. I know that these things will happen. I've seen where, as Mike previously mentioned just a moment ago, you know, there's no natural solution in terms of finances. If money becomes, you know, if the currency becomes devalued, if there's no value in it, it's just paper, it's just metal, okay? But there needs to be provision, and provision comes from God. Jesus multiplied things, and we're called to multiply ourselves. We're called to demonstrate the heart and love of God, to physically manifest things from heaven to earth. We are called to feed people in a way that we've not previously done. We are called to grow produce where we grow it so abundantly there is enough to give away. People in the Bible had an intimate relationship with God, and they had an intimate relationship with God which was fantastic, but it was for a purpose. It was to bring the kingdom to earth. It wasn't to be, oh yeah, wow, look at me and God, we're really close. I walk with God, I'm great. It's actually to bring the kingdom to earth, to declare that our God is greater than anything. You know, at the moment you see all these magicians and they're doing these, you know, what appear to be amazing things, but they are pale imitations of what God will do. They are pale imitations of how great is our God. And we will be able to do greater things than that. Jesus said, you will do greater things than I've done. And Jesus raised the dead. He manifest things. He pulled money out of fishes' mouths. And he said, you'll do amazing things more than that. And at the moment we look at raising the dead as the pinnacle. It's not, it's the bottom. You know, it's what did God put into your heart? What did God say that you would do as your destiny? Because we are actually all part of the body. We're all part of being able to do these greater things. And each one of us will have a part to play in that.
Okay, great. This is a scripture which describes this time. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 2. It will come about that in the last days the mountain, that symbol of authority, of the house of the Lord, God's people, will be established as the chief of mountains. The chief, which means the top mountain. And will be raised above the hills. So all those other things are just like hills compared to the mountain of God. And what it says is, and the nations will stream to it. Why will the nations stream to God's people raised up? Because we will have the answers. No matter what the problem is, God will give us the answers. Now you might think, oh, that's just impossible. No, as Becky said, nothing is impossible with God. And it's been God's destiny for his people to bring dominion and bring his kingdom to earth. Always, from Adam and Eve, they were told to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it, which means to overcome it, and have dominion, to rule over it. And what happens? Many people will come and say, Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us concerning his ways. People will come to know the ways of God. Why? Because they will start to see the ways of God in his people, and that we may walk in his paths. So people will want to walk in these ancient paths that God is establishing, because the paths of the world will no longer be enough. In fact, it will be challenged. So this picture of mountains is really, really important. And God is raising up his people right now. And that city of refuge, prophetically, is like Joseph's storehouses in the Old Testament. When there was famine, God gave Joseph a vision to provide storehouses. And they took 20% of all the produce and stored it. Now, I believe God is going to give us a harvest of 20% of the population around the world to bring into storehouses, so that those people can be in a place of safety and perfection and provision, be trained, mentored, and discipled in the supernatural power of the kingdom. Genesis 41:57. The people of all the earth came to Egypt to buy grain from Joseph. Joseph was a representative of Jesus, and Jesus has given us his authority in the earth. All authority in heaven and earth is given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples. Because the famine was severe in all the earth. There is going to be a famine. I'm not talking necessarily about a physical famine, but a famine where all those systems of the world get shaken, that is going to draw people to those who've got provision. And God wants to raise up storehouses, apostolic resource centers, revival centers all over the world, cities of refuge where people can come. Those places of shalom, of peace and wholeness. Now for us, we have an acronym for what those things are. S equals spiritual, supernatural, social, which means we can't just be spiritual without actually having an impact in the world in which we live. We have to see transformation and change. If we're all up in the clouds in heaven and there's no earthly impact, what's the point of that? We've been called to actually bring the kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Health, H, health. Holistic, hope, housing. All those things God has called us to have. Now, around the world, people need to find their own acronym for peace. What is it that God's calling people to do to make an impact in their sphere of authority? A, accommodation and administration. We're going to provide accommodation for people, and we're going to administrate the kingdom. L, liberty, love, lifestyle, learning. O, opportunities and occupation. M, ministry, mentoring, mediation, media. Come up with your own for your own life. What is it that God is calling you to do? Those are some of the things that we want to see in our environment where God has called us to provide and to meet people's needs and to practically demonstrate the heart and love of God to see people's lives change for the better, to minister to people supernaturally and naturally. We're on a process and a journey. So we want to meet people's needs where those needs are seen. And God is calling us to meet those needs in that way. Now, church isn't just about Sundays. It's not just about meetings. It's the whole of our lives, 24/7, in relationship with God and each other to fulfill our individual and corporate destiny. What is it that God's called us to do together? Because you can't just be isolated on your own. You need to be part of a family that will support and encourage and release that. We are to bring peace and wholeness wherever we are. Around our lives should be an atmosphere of peace and wholeness. And when people step into our sphere, they should feel the power of that atmosphere. They should feel tangibly the presence of God in us. Therefore, we need God in us to flow out through us. You know, Bill Johnson, I think, talked about most people have God locked up on the inside. We need to let God loose through our lives to impact those things around us. Now, we have some specific ministries here that help us reflect that corporately. We have Freedom Trust, which is the church ministry. And over the years, we've released other ministries or adopted them to work together. And there have been at least four or five of those. Freedom Apostolic Resources, that is to release blessing around the world in supernatural mentorship. Freedom Social Projects, the ministry to disadvantaged people all over to help them practically on the ground. Freedom Communities, Rehabilitation Ministry or the therapeutic community. Freedom Social Enterprises, social business to provide opportunities of those things. And also in the past, we had involvement with Amigos. And we've released that as a separate charity, but actually it was birthed here. That's an African AIDS orphans and looking to help people abroad. So there's lots of things. And other people here have been in other countries and doing other things. So we're not just about what's going on here. We have to see this spread out. We have to see it go out and touch people around the world. Because Jesus said, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, ends of the earth. It always has to be a bigger picture with God, because he wants the whole of his creation restored to wholeness. So God last year mandated us to remove some of the barriers between our ministries and to form a unifying government so that we could be more effective working together. So we're in the process of having three ministry areas and charities, companies that work together. Freedom Trust is an apostolic umbrella. Freedom Social Projects, Freedom Communities working together. Freedom Social Enterprises. So those will be our things now. But we've got opportunity for so much more. What's in your heart? What are you going to birth? You know, what ministry, what charity are you going to birth? Because God is giving us the ability to birth new things in the kingdom to tackle new things. Hey, let's have freedom housing. Let's have freedom car sales. Freedom this, that, and the other. We've had vision of stuff, but take it wider. Think about what is in your heart that you can birth to minister and bring the kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. And don't limit yourself. I know some of you are thinking, well, I can do that. Look at me. I can't do that. Well, none of these things would started unless someone said, I can do that. Let's have a go. Let's meet this need. See, we want a health center. We want a holistic center. Who's going to start that? Well, it's not probably going to happen tomorrow, but we can have healing rooms tomorrow. We can have ministry in different ways tomorrow. Because if people say yes and respond to what God has put in their hearts, it can be birthed and released. And everyone has the capacity of doing that because God has a destiny for each person. So we're going to look at how we do that. For us, we have these areas of ministry around the outside of this thing. So we have these seven mountain spheres of kingdom authority. Now, there's a prophecy that's been around for a number of years from a guy called Johnny Enlow called the Seven Mountain Prophecy. And he talks about seven mountains of authority in the world system. And he talks about media, government, education, economy, celebration, religion, and family. And there's a movement to try and almost like claim those back, which is great. But in the long run, and there's a diagram there which explains the different mountains and the different things for those who might be interested in that. But I have a question. Can you see it again? Well, you can see it, but there you go. I'm not saying that isn't good. I'm just saying, be there. Can those things be redeemed or are they going to be shaken? And if they're going to be shaken, then do we need to try and redeem them or do we need something which actually is a higher kingdom above them all, which will influence those things from a higher kingdom perspective? Because we can make the world a good system and a good place, but we want to see heaven manifested on earth. If we just want to set up more earthly systems, what will happen to them? Eventually, they'll come to nothing anyway. Because it's only that which of heaven and the kingdom which will not be shaken and which will remain. Hebrews chapter 12. When the shaking comes, it's only God's kingdom that will remain. So there's not an awful lot of point for me putting things into a structure which is going to fall anyway. Let's have a higher structure which is going to bring power and authority to administer all those things in righteousness and justice, which is the foundation of God's kingdom. Now, I know that God is taking us on a journey in this, but ultimately we have to see God's power released. So the mountain of the house of the Lord is going to be higher than all those spheres. So all those spheres will stream to God's kingdom because they need God's ministry and purposes to be outworked. Isaiah 61:1 is our DNA here. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives, freedom to prisoners, and to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. So our seven mountains of authority are good news, health, freedom, harmony, blessing, media, and enterprise. Now, don't ask me what all those mean. That's for the people who God's called to be involved in those mountains to decide what they mean, because you have to go and find out what they mean from God. So we have a structure here where we're looking to, for those who operate in kingship, to release people who operate in lordship. So we have seven mountains. Each of those has a scroll, and each of those things is a ministry area that we want to see released. So as three of us, our calling is to call people to occupy those mountains, to be involved in good news as lords in heaven, to manifest that on earth. Also, each one of those will be patterned after heaven themselves. So actually, each one of those will have three. And then each one of those will have seven. Because everything operates in the kingdom in a fractal. So what it looks like in heaven, it looks like on earth in smaller and bigger pieces. All patterned after the same. So we're looking to have seven mountains with three people ruling those mountains, releasing seven more. And how that might work for us, each one has a mandate and a scroll. Each one has angelic ministers to be part of that process. So each throne has seven sub-thrones. What do these represent? Well, they're from Isaiah 61, Luke 4, 18 ministries. So right now, we're looking to raise up those who are called to rule those thrones. I saw all those thrones from heaven. God took me there, showed me them. I saw what was on them. We've dealt with some of the things that were on those thrones so we could bring rule there. And then God wouldn't let me go back to any of them, somewhat frustratingly, because actually it's not my role. My role is to actually raise up others to say, hey, this is where I'm called to administer. And we're looking to do that. And we have, I think, five of those thrones that people have said, yeah, I feel called to that. So five of those thrones, we need two more. And then we need three on each of the thrones. So there's lots of opportunity for people to get involved. Now, I want to think of it in terms of the health throne. Okay, we have a health throne. We've talked about miraculous health, all sorts of different health. So as one person says, hey, I want to be ruling that health throne, and actually we've got a vacancy on that throne, so anyone's interested. And then they find two others who say, yeah, we're gonna minister the kingdom, bringing health. Then what are those health things? Well, you go and get your mandated scroll from heaven, and you go into heaven, and we can teach people how to do that, and you can go to the record room, and you get a scroll. And on that scroll, it will tell you seven other things. And then what do? You do exactly the same process again. Who wants to rule on this mountain? Healing rooms, perhaps, or healing gifts. Or maybe physical healing, maybe mental health healing, maybe emotional healing. I'm just throwing out some examples. Maybe healing pools where angels come and stir things, where people can come and walk in and get healed. I don't know. I'm not allowed to go and find out. I'm just throwing out some examples. Whoever feels called to that healing throne needs to go and get the mountain, go to the mountain, get the scroll, and find out what all those areas are. So we can have all those things functioning. Then we can see they will raise up lords on each of those three, and the pattern will go again, so that we can have ministry actually coming out of heaven, operating on earth, according to God's purpose. Now, I'm throwing this out, not just for here, but all over the world, for people to respond to the sound that's coming out of heaven, so they can align themselves with what heaven is calling them to, according to their destiny. And don't just think, I couldn't do any of that. I used to think I couldn't do any of that. Until I responded to what God was telling me to do, often by twisting my arm or pushing me out. You know, sometimes God gets us to do things because he brings persecution to push us out. It's what happened in Jerusalem, in the early church. They were all very comfortable in Jerusalem. Until persecution came, what happened then? Oh, they spread all over the world and take the gospel everywhere. Which is what they were supposed to do in the first place. But they didn't until God pushed them. So don't wait for God to push you. Respond proactively and ask him, where am I supposed to be? What am I supposed to do? Zechariah 3:7 is a process where Zechariah was standing in the courts of heaven, and God spoke to him through an angel and said, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, if you will walk in my ways," that's what we do here. We're seeking to walk in his ways. "And if you will perform my service," in other words, perform the principles of my kingdom, we do that in heaven, "then you will govern my house," bring rule and authority, "you will have charge of my courts." He's talking about heavenly courts. "And I will grant you free access among those who are standing here." They were standing in the council of God. That's for all of us. There's a process to go through to maturity, to bring us into maturity as sons. Servant, bondservant, steward, lord, king, son. A process of growth and maturity that God will bring us into. Now, think about this for your own life. You have a mountain in heaven which represents who you are, your identity, and you have a scroll calling you to your destiny. Therefore, you have a place to rule and bring lordship around your life. You have 7 mountain spheres of authority for your life. What are they? I don't know. Find out. Some of the things they could be: family, gifts of the Spirit, work, church, your street maybe, your ministry, your town. I don't know. Who knows? God will give you, when you go to seek him, the revelation of what that is for your life. And then when you start to embrace that, you will start to bring God's kingdom around your life and you'll start to administer it. So this whole picture of 7 mountains and ministries isn't just applicable to the church, it's applicable to your life. So when you get your spirit, soul and body, 3, aligned up with God, then you get a flow of God's life through you. So you can align with the 4 faces of God. You can find what your redemptive gift is. You can actually find your vision for your life. What has God called you to have? Then you can find out what those things are. So you might have a mountain of church, say, in your life. Therefore, God might want you to be an elder in church. That might be a sphere of authority you're called to have. You might have a mountain of work. Go and form a union. Go and do something to change conditions where you live, practically and spiritually. You may be called to administer to your street or your area. Maybe you're called to go set up prayer walking, bringing heaven in a different way. See, lots of different things can happen. Maybe your mountain is a ministry mountain. If it's healing, then go and look to establish healing. You may have gifts that you're called to administer. It may be family. Then go and be the best mother and father you can be, because that's your heir of authority. Another one, you might have a town. So maybe go and be a councillor and change things. Oh, I don't want to get into politics. Well, the reason politics is like it is because Christians aren't involved bringing the kingdom. It's like we have to have a practical outworking to bring transformation. Now, okay, that might be a temporary journey, but actually let's make a difference where we are and what God has called us to. So find out what your mountain and ministries are and outwork them. And we're looking to help you do that. So there are individual mountains, thrones, church mountains. There is an investiture of authority that you get in heaven. You get given a crown and you get given a mantle and you get given a scepter. And then as you get released into kingship, you get given an orb and you get weapons to affect heaven and bring it to earth. So we have to find these things so we can be lords, kings and sons. So each of those 3 mountains on the church mountains, those 3 thrones, one of those will be on a council of 12, which is the next part of the structure, which is what we're putting into place. And so that will bring a new vision for apostolic government. And God is doing this all over the world. Why a council of 12? Well, because there are 12 tribes, there were 12 apostles, there are 12 foundations of the New Jerusalem, there are 12 gates of the New Jerusalem, there are 12 stones on the breastplate of the high priest. All reflecting 12 aspects of kingdom government. And we want to respond as it is in heaven. And there were 2 lots of 12 elders in heaven, one representing the old and one the new. God is calling us to have this in place. So we're looking for 1 representative of each mountain, 3 from the Apostolic Council and 2 from the Shalom ministry areas that make up 12. And so far we've got 10. So we've got 2 vacancies. They will act as like a cabinet to engage heaven and release those strategies and people on earth. So right now, we're calling for people to identify with any of those mountain areas. In your spirit. Don't try and do it with your head. Oh, where do I fit? It's like, let your spirit resonate with what God is calling you to. And we want to know, do you feel called to health, good news, harmony? It's like, oh, I don't know what they are. Well, let your spirit resonate with them. I'm not going to explain them because that's not my job. That's for other people to come and say, this is what the mountain of harmony means. And we have people who are working on that, hopefully. So what is the spirit saying to you? Ignore all the negative thoughts and familiar spirits that will lie to you right now and say, I can't be involved in any of that. I'm not good enough. You don't know my past. Blah, 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 blah. Forget all the blahs. If you've got an issue with the past, get lie busted. Start bringing things back into wholeness and alignment. Releasing you into your heavenly destiny. You are awesome. Each one of you, created by God for greatness in his kingdom. All of you have called to rule in authority and power. So we ask the question, do you want to be with us on this journey? Are you willing to participate in it? Because you can't be a passenger. We're actually wanting to go together to participate. Are you willing to be a disciple and make disciples? Because that's what Jesus called us to do. Are you willing to find and fulfill your destiny? We're going to encourage you to come into alignment with God's purposes for you. This is happening all over the world. God is issuing this sound and he's drawing people, bringing people together around a purpose. So God is calling us to that purpose today. In Joshua 24:15, it says, choose for yourself today whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And we brought unity into our house, so we want to serve the Lord together. So I encourage you, no assumptions, free choice for everybody to see whether they want to be involved. Who is hearing the sound of heaven? Who feels called to be here?